This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
On campus, the last time we were busy with a series, like I mentioned the previous time, I shared here through Exodus. Basically, we trusted the Lord to set people free. Where the book of Exodus, it starts with slavery and it ends in worship. So we trusted the Lord to take people from a place of slavery and being enslaved to a place of freedom to be able to worship Him. We were on this journey together for 6 weeks. We did this, and guys were in host groups where they invited friends into the room, the unsaved, and even just other friends who probably is not part of the church, or maybe have their own quality relationship with the Lord, or it was just an opportunity for people to invite people in and to embark on this journey from slavery to freedom, or to a place where they can worship God wholeheartedly. So we went through this journey in the book of Exodus. So like I said, the book of Exodus, it starts in slavery, it ends in worship. It's a story of a God who binds himself to his people in order to set them free. Which is amazing, just seeing God's faithfulness. It's not the faithfulness of the people that led to their freedom. It was God who bound himself to them. It's a book filled with miracles, signs and wonders. We see a lot of miracles and extraordinary things in the book of Exodus. And the amazing thing is, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means if God was a God who could do miracles then, He's still a God of miracles today. We also see a lot of oppression and suffering in this book. And this is still evident today. If you look at, read the newspaper, or if you have been working for a couple of weeks without rest, you can maybe relate to that. But the people in the book of Exodus experienced a lot of hardship and suffering. And there's also people wandering through the desert. The desert experiences kind of going through the motions and not knowing where they're going, and dry seasons. And sometimes we also go through dry seasons. So the amazing thing to me is just that the Bible is always relevant to us wherever we are at. And I thought, but how can I read a book of people who wandered through the desert and that can impact me so that I can experience freedom? When I say the Bible is eternal, it's relevant to each one of us today. So, just a bit of background before we get to the chapter which we're going to read today. Moses' journey up to this point, he was born a Hebrew, he was born one of the Jews, and he was raised as an Egyptian in the house of the Pharaoh. They adopted him into his house, which actually meant his salvation, because all the boys had to be killed and thrown into the river at that stage. As a Hebrew, he saw his people suffering, and he killed an Egyptian. As he wandered amongst his people, he saw two guys having a bit of a squabble, and he decided he has to intervene, and he killed the Egyptian. He realized he's in trouble, he fled, and he settled and built a new life and family. Often when we fail, or when there's shame in our lives, or when there's guilt, this is something that we do. We go into hiding, we flee. We see human nature sitting in there, and then his life heads into a different direction. Amazing that at that point where he fled from his purposes, God meets him and he's drawn back into the purposes of God. God calls him out of the burning bush. He gives him a promise that he's going to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land, and he obeys. Moses responds by obeying, leading a life of comfort. He had settled there for 40 years. And what he had settled for, he sacrificed all of that. Imagine moving down to Cape Town from Pretoria. That's probably, or going to Australia. I don't know what it would be in our context. But it costs you a lot to be able to do that. You settle to build a life somewhere. For God to come to you, you say, okay, but leave all of this, take your family with you and go to Egypt, the place that you ran from. I don't know whether I would have done it if I was in Moses' shoes, but he did that. He sacrificed all of that. He faced his fears of the past, and he confronted Pharaoh. So that's where we pick up the story. many times when we hear the promise of God, we respond to that because we think, we don't necessarily think about the outcome, but we love it when God gives us promises. Do you agree? If God gives me a promise that our country is going to be fine and everything's going to work out perfectly, I would love for that, even if he does it in a burning bush, no, not even more. So we love the promises of God. We trust the person of God, meaning we, his character, his nature, he's good, he's faithful, he's a faithful witness, he cannot lie, he's just. But when we look at the person of God and his character, we love that as well. Because if we hear, if we look at who he is, we think, but he can be trusted. So we love the person of God, we love to receive promises of God, but I want to say we don't always appreciate the processes of God in our lives. A while ago, and I'm sharing this just because I don't have the most life experience, I haven't suffered much, I haven't lost a lot, but my sister, they wouldn't mind me sharing this, they tried for a long time to fall pregnant. And they trusted the Lord and they got a word from the Lord that they're going to fall pregnant, so they held on to that and they fell pregnant, and what happened is they lost a child. And during that time, they went through a bit of a crisis because they trusted the promise of God. They knew God is good, but how does this work? How does the circumstances, the processes of God align with his promises that he had spoken, with his character? And then you start asking yourself questions. Go back, Moses, he receives God's promises. He's heard about God, this God who bound himself to Abram, to his people in the past. He's heard of the promises, he's heard of his character. But now he has to face the process of God. So we pick up the story, I think it's chapter 5. This is not very clear, but it would be good. So if you have a Bible, it would be good if you can read perhaps your Bible, follow your Bible, or we can read the back story. Chapter 5. And afterwards, this is after the Lord called Moses in the burning bush. After Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with a sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people of the foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cried, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Let heavy work be laid on the men, that they may labor at them and pay no regard to the divine words. So we see Moses going and being obedient to God. He goes, he tells her exactly what God expects of him to do. And instead of things getting better, Pharaoh tells him, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You see, Moses knew who the Lord was. For God had spoken to him in the burning bush. He had the promises of God. The reality was, Pharaoh had no clue. And instead of things getting better, it gets worse. This thing. So the taskmasters and the foreman of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. Something to remember at this this stage, there was no Sabbath. The people worked 7 days a week continually from dusk till dawn every day. They worked themselves off. I want to say today. Today, if we look at, I don't know who of you have people working for wages in your business, but if people work for 7 days straight without rest, do that for a couple of weeks, they are not going to be as productive as they were in the beginning. And how did they enforce this? I'm so with adrenaline, with fear. They beat them with rods, that was what it was like at the time. And that was what they were already facing. Now all of a sudden, the materials are taken away from them, but they have to still do the same amount of work. Now, I don't know about you, if you are on the point of breaking, and you're suffering, and that happens, psychologically, I can imagine it's tough. Verse 12, so the people scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble or straw. The taskmasters were diligent, saying, complete the work of your daily task each day, as when there was straw. And the foreman of the people of Israel, who heard the taskmasters had said of them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday, as in the past? Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks, and behold, your servants are beaten, but if the fault is in your own people. So as any good employee would do, they would go to the employer and says, this is unreasonable. This cannot continue. So this is Pharaoh's response. He said, you are idle, That is why he said, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, you shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task, each day. So now they find themselves between a rock and a hard place. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. So, I don't know about you, but if I was in Moses' shoes at this time, I would be quite upset. He had a comfortable life, he settled, he had a sheep farm got running with his father-in-law, got married, settled in a land far away, didn't have any issues, lived out comfortably. God comes and shakes his boat. Tells him, go back and face Pharaoh, the very person you ran away from. He has to face him now. He does this knowing God is on his side, because if God is on your side, everything will work out perfectly. All of a sudden, it's not just Pharaoh who opposes you, but your own people are mad at you, to say the least. It's almost like they want to kill Moses. They say, God judge you for what you have done to us. And I would have probably felt the same, wanting to give Moses a bar clapper, I don't know. So then Moses, this is what he tells the Lord. Moses turned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered them at all. You have not delivered your people at all. Moses does what we so often do. When we look, like I said, we love the promises of God. We love the person of God. We know it is in our heads, but then we look at our processes, the way the dealings of God work in our lives, the way things work out in the world, and we ask, but why does this happen to me? You question the processes. Second thing that we do, if that doesn't align, we look at the promise of God. We ask ourselves, but God, did you really then say this? If this happens to me, if this process, if I have to go through this, did you really promise me this and this? Which leads us to the third thing that happened. We trust, we question the person of God. God, are you really good? If this happens to me, are you really good? Are you really faithful? Are you really, really stable? Do you really love me? Have I really been forgiven? If you are good, why don't you provide for me? And we go through a crisis, we question the person of God and question the promises of God. Moses, it was no different. Why have you done evil to this people? He questions the process. Why did you ever send me the promise? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, you have not delivered them at all. And in his mind, he questions the person of God as well. We might think, but Moses, what a terrible guy. How can he say that to God? We are exactly the same. God replies, chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, a couple of things I just want to mention, a story or two. At the moment, we're speaking of social justice in our congregation. The streams of justice should flow. This story of a guy in Pretoria, they had a partnership. It was three guys in the church, and they, what they thought, they saw that the people they were employing were living on minimum wage. And they realized that these people battled to make ends meet. So they decided, how could they empower the guys that were under their care to get ahead in life? And they made their sums and everything, and they realized that they are going to have to pay them almost double they are paying them at the moment. And they looked at their books, they prayed about it in their board meeting, and in the end, as a step of faith, they did that. They cut their budgets in order to pay their people more. And what happened was the economy made a bit of a dive, and they were struggling to make ends meet at the end of the month. And then you question, but God, it's your will to look. You want to see streams of justice, but your heart is for the poor and the weak. Why don't you provide for us? See, it's in times of crisis we struggle with this. My prayer for us this morning is that God would come and he would help us see our circumstances through the eyes of faith. So it's easy to see our circumstances and judge God, put him in the judgment seat. Here's God's response to Moses. Moses turned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me?" Okay, I mentioned that in the next scripture. "Now you shall see," the Lord said to Moses, "you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, you will send them out, and with a strong hand, you will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel and the Egyptians, both as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for possession. For I am the Lord. And often we, what we tend to do when our boats get shaken is we tend to put God in the judgment seat. God replies by revealing that He is the Lord. He's the one who rules and reigns. He's the one who's going to judge one day. And it hasn't changed. He's seated at the highest place. He's in control and sovereign over our circumstances. And He is who He says He is. What God does, He reminds Moses of who He is, His character. I am the Lord Almighty. Secondly, He reminds him of the promises. He says, I will bring you out. He reminds him of who He is. I'm the Lord Almighty. He reminds him about the promises. I will bring you out from Egypt. And I will deliver. I will redeem. And you shall know. And I will bring you into. And I will give. And the process of God is the Lord is sovereign over us, even over our circumstances. This time of the year, when we speak to many people, they will often say, but how are you doing? The response would probably be, we're busy. We're looking forward to December. It's that time of the year people move into. They call it the silly season. But what often happens is we look forward to something that gives us a bit of hope to continue, like Christmas or petrol price falling or the spirit box that might win. Luckily Jesus is still enthroned. He's the Lord. If we look at our circumstances and the processes of the way God deals with us, how do you perceive God in your heart? Is it a place of accusation? It could even be to some place of bitterness. Is it a place of full assurance of faith? Where you can go knowing that you can pour out your heart to the Lord. Because He's came through for you in the past. You see, the reality is we have a good Father. He is the Lord. He's sovereign. He's a just judge. And He knows what He does with our lives. He's sovereign over God's processes of our lives. But there's also another one at play. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And the father of all lies. He loves those accusations that comes our way. And He even amplifies them. But we've been given authority to rule and reign over the things of the world. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but thank God, I have overcome this world. And therefore we have hope. God reminds Moses of the person that he is. He reminds him of his promises, and through that perspective, it challenges him to confront the processes. See, the only way we can endure as believers is if we look at our circumstances through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the goodness of God, and through the eyes of eternity. This morning I was having my quiet time and I read of Paul, and I just thought if that was what Christianity was, I didn't know whether I was going to be a Christian. He did floggings 3 times, 40 lashes minus one. I've had a lot of fucks all in my life, but nothing like Paul. He was shipwrecked, he was homeless, he was hungry, he was without sleep. So those are things that Paul had to endure. And we tend to think Christianity, but God is going to make everything, our life is going to be better. Become a Christian and your marriage will blossom, your finances will be blessed, your relationships will be blessed, everything will be made new. And I'm not knocking that there is blessing in serving God, but here's what Paul said. You're going to endure hardship. He was flogged, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was without sleep. Who wants to be a Christian now? It's tough. But he saw things through the eternal perspective of God. He knew one day he was going to stand before God, and it's, and everything is placed into perspective. See, so often we say, but even if I don't go to heaven or hell, even if that doesn't exist, then I'll still be a Christian. That's something many people say. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he says, if there was no eternity, we should be pitied above all people. Because we have an eternal hope. We have an eternal hope. That's a perspective we have. It gives us hope in our suffering. It gives us hope in our trials. That one day there's a just judge. He's sovereign over our processes, and he will reward each one according to his goodness. Not because of our best efforts also, but because of the blood of Jesus, because we are in Christ. I'm going to close. And I want us just to reflect, each one of us, to reflect on our situation. Maybe we can just pray together, close our eyes. Jesus, I thank you for your word and that you are alive. Lord, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can echo your words, Lord, that you said in this world we will have trouble, but thank God, for you have overcome this world. Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you would, through your blood, Lord God, that you would come with your spirit and just, Lord, expose our own hearts to us this morning, Lord. And I know there are many people who face pressure, Lord, at the moment, whether it's through their work, relationships, finances, whatever it might be, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that we will be able to see our circumstances through the eyes of faith. That you would come and reveal your promises, Lord, in this time, Lord. Lord, I just pray by your Spirit, any accusations against you, Lord God, you would expose that even now, Lord. Whatever the circumstances is, Lord, whatever the failure, whatever the disappointment it is, people might have faced. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word that says that you grant us repentance and times of refreshing may come. Lord, this morning we want to come and repent, Lord, that we have accused you, Lord, placed you in the judgment seat, Lord. Maybe even resented you because of things that happened in our lives. Lord, we want to declare this in spite of our circumstances, Lord, you are good, you are a good God. God, your promise says you make everything work together for the good of those who love you. Jesus, would you endure the worst suffering, Lord? But you endure to the end, because you have perfect faith in the Father, God. We do not always have perfect faith. We never have perfect faith, Lord. But we can have faith, Lord, in the perfect life that you live. Even though our faith fails us, Lord, we know that we can trust in you in these circumstances, Lord, that knowing that you are good, you made a way for us to endure. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come and minister to us this morning. But as we turn to you, that you would come with your Spirit and bring refreshing in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for words of encouragement, Lord, even as we are going to minister to one another now, through disappointment, through things, difficult circumstances that we face, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our hearts, Lord, that you would encourage, that you would give our hearts of faith, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.